Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Meatloaf Monday. Yeah, because a lot of times it's about the food. So yeah, Meatloaf Monday, hour three, we are going to the phones here. I'm proud to bring in somebody who's been a friend of this show for quite a while, Congressman Gary Palmer. He represents Alabama's 6th Congressional District, and he has been long in the era of in the area of conservative policy, as he founded the Alabama Policy Institute that you hear about on this show quite often, and for which I was also on staff for a period of time. But Congressman Palmer now serves ably in Congress, and he's on the phone. Congressman, how you doing?
Good, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for making time.
Well, I'm glad to be on. Glad to see some sunshine. That kind of wondered what that bright thing was in the sky.
It is pouring down rain here at the studio in Gadsden. So I'm glad it's clear where you are. But hey, listen, Congressman, I want to run down two threads with you, at least two. The first, though, I covered earlier in the show. We had these three members of Congress from the Democrat Party in New Jersey that are now being accused, and I've seen the video, it's pretty legit, of actually interfering with and harassing and even manhandling law enforcement that were doing their jobs at an ICE detention facility. What do you know about this, and are they going to face repercussions, in your opinion?
Well, I don't know a whole lot about it, but from what little I've seen, there's one member actually laid hands on one of the DHS officers there, and I think that's a problem. That's a federal issue, not a local issue. So I think you'd have to ask Pam Bondi or Kristi Noem or Tom Homan what the consequences for that might be. But the interesting thing about this, Phil, is that the Democrat Party has become the party for the criminal class.
Yeah,
I mean these aren't people that they put in jail because they came over here to get a job and maybe try to help out their families. These are people who committed crimes. They're here illegally, but they committed crimes, some of them violent crimes. And now you've got three Democrat members of Congress trying to break into a jail to let them out. It reminds me of when I was a kid watching the Westerns when they put the bad guy in jail and his cohorts would tie a rope to the bars of the window and jerk it out and get him out. I mean, it's the same thing. They're the party of jailbreak now. And then you had these guys that went down to El Salvador, and it's just amazing.
Well, and I look at the things that happen here, like, you know, Jamal Bowman pulling the fire alarm. I mean, if this had been Republicans, Congressman, I feel like they would be bringing, you know, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger back to stand up the Jan 6 Commission again and get the whole band back together. But they are constantly allowing their own members to just do these things, and yet the rest of the world is supposed to lump it. I hope there will be repercussions. I'm not looking for anybody to have their lives ruined or whatever else, but especially the one individual, Congresswoman McIver, she's on video putting her elbow in the back of the head of a DHS and then shoving him and then screaming profanities like a drill sergeant wouldn't use. It was not only unseemly and unprofessional, it was violent, and it needs to be dealt with, and that's my hope.
Well, like I say, that's going to be the Department of Justice, maybe Homeland Security, because those are their people, and it's just they've lost their minds, and they get out and they lie about everything. They're out lying to people that they're going to lose their Social Security. They lied all throughout the campaign that if Trump got elected, people would lose their Social Security, their Medicare, and nobody's lost anything. They want to keep illegals on Medicaid. They want working age adults with no dependents to live off the government at our expense, and in doing so deny people who legitimately should be getting Medicaid or SNAP benefits, you know, food stamps, but they can't get them because these people are there on a waiting list because we've got all these people on these programs and that ought to be out working.
Well, the Democrat Party, and this, I guess, will be the last piece, is I don't want to lose the opportunity to talk about a bill you just passed, but the Democrat Party right now seems like it's struggling for messaging, struggling for leadership, struggling for any sense of cohesiveness. And granted, they still hold enough of a presence in the House to where it can obstruct the Republicans if we don't get all of our people on board. But I got to say, yeah, if we don't get our agenda done, it's going to be totally on us, because right now they are not like a high bar of competition.
No, but still, you know, 60-something million people or 70-something million people voted for Kamala Harris.
That's true.
And some people might say that's because they so many people just didn't like. But still, you just have to question somebody's judgment when you look at the direction the country's gone and the things that we've allowed to happen, and then you see what you just brought up about them trying to break these criminals out of jail in New Jersey. It is insanity, honestly. And I think the country's waking up, especially young people and minorities. They're waking up that they've been used. And I just pray to God that we'll get through all of this and do the things that need to be done for the good of the country. And people look back on this Congress and think that we did something worthy to be remembered.
Well, I agree with that, and I hope so. Well, listen, one thing you did, which sparked my imagination, because for the last 4 years on this radio show, I've talked about what I call the Green New Steel, and the amount of money being thrown at the agenda of you know climate change and radical efforts to curb the existential crisis of climate change, and you just passed a bill that deals specifically with the Biden administration's efforts to change all of our appliances, and Trump just signed it into law a few days ago. So tell us about that real quick.
Well, they put out a regulation banning natural gas fired tankless hot water heaters.
Yeah,
and they'd also try to ban gas range tops and. Just they're everything they do is anti-fossil fuel, and they put that regulation out on Christmas Eve night. I guess they thought nobody would be paying attention. We saw it, introduced a resolution to repeal that, and it passed the House. I actually had 11 Democrats vote with us on it and got it through the Senate, and President Trump signed it Friday afternoon.
It's a good bill, and it came at the perfect time. And I like the fact that now that we've got executive orders dealing with this, but now we've got an actual act of Congress, which has been signed into law by the president. So it's official. We're not going to lose our gas stoves, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And he signed a couple other bills, too, that these folks, we passed a bill on reversing the EV mandate.
Yeah,
and when they put out these executive orders like Biden was doing, the Office of Management Budget puts out an impact statement, and they have to give you an impact statement on how it will affect the budget. And I started reading them back earlier in the year, around back in January, and they'd all say the same thing in terms of budgetary impact. It was de minimis, de minimis, de minimis. But when we got to the EV mandate, It said de minimis, but then it said that it would save 300 million gallons of gasoline over the time period that the executive order covered. Well, our highway trust fund, federal highway trust fund, funded by 18.5 cents per gallon tax on gasoline.
Yeah.
So they basically said that we're going to eliminate $30-something billion in federal highway taxes. That's not de minimis.
No.
So we were able to get that repealed, and I think 55 Democrats voted for that one.
Did they really? Well, that's...
They're not all crazy. Just, well, maybe I went too far with that statement.
Well, I mean, the thing's in law now, and I'm glad, and I think it was right around the time that they were talking about this proposal to ban gas, you know, stoves and all that. that there was a video or an image of Kamala Harris in her own kitchen with a gas stove. And you look at it and go, yeah, come on.
Yeah. Well, maybe she didn't know it was gas. I don't get the impression that she does a lot of home-cooked meals. But, I don't know.
Well, do you see the green agenda being, I mean, I do. I see it being pushed back, but is there more legislation to come? Are we? I mean, I'm so glad for the things you did and for the EV mandate being repealed. And then how do we deal with California and what do we do with our energy sector? What else do you see coming in that regard?
Well, there's more bills coming. They've already been filed. I filed some. I filed a couple in the last few weeks. But also, I chair the subcommittee on Energy and Commerce Committee, the
right.
subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations, and we're looking into that $20 billion that got shoved out in the last 3 or 4 weeks
yes.
for the Biden administration. They shoved out money so fast that even the Biden official says it's like throwing gold bars off the Titanic.
Yeah.
And 8 organizations got that money, Phil. One of them was Stacey Abrams'
yes.
group. In the 3 months before they got the grant from the federal government, their revenue was $100. They got $2 billion. There was another one that their revenue for 2023 was $550,000 for the whole year. They got $7 billion. So I've had the our legal team send letters to all 8 of those organizations demanding that they hand over all of their communications, emails, text messages, any communication with the Biden administration. We want to know how they got the money, what was the grant process, and what have they done with the money. And they've done what we knew they'd do as a document dump. They sent us about 70,000 pages. But we're going to go through this, and we're going to stay on it. I don't know how much of it we can claw back, but we're going to find out what happened here.
Outstanding. Well, it needs to, because accountability and transparency have to go hand in hand. Once we know it's there, we have to have the accountability to go with it to make a difference. But Congressman, well, I gotta leave it there unless you got something to add real quick.
No, we just got our work cut out for us. We got a lot to do on this reconciliation package, and we're not where we need to be on that yet, Phil. We'll talk about that later.
All right, sir. Well, I appreciate your time, and thank you much. Safe driving.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, listen, we're taking a break right now, but I'll just be honest with you. You can't repeal this stuff fast enough. And it's amazing how much last-minute money was going out the door and last-minute executive orders were being signed by the auto pen. And I'm just glad to see they're repealing the stuff and then seeking to try and repatriate some of those funds back into the coffers. It's amazing. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.